The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, we are back with the Monarchist Basketball Show. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron, and we are blessed to be with Coach Mike Jones. How are you doing today, Coach?
Doing great. Great to see you guys. Excited for a lot of these this year.
So are we.
All right. So last we talked was before really you got going with camp. So we talked about the roster and the schedule and all that. Let's talk about camp and what were your biggest goals for camp and where we're at now?
So just continuing to build, you know, the Costa Rica trip gave us some insight and, you know, a head start or a jump start into how we're going to play, the speed we're going to play with, some of the defensive things we're going to do. So that was really good for us. And when we got back, you know, we gave the guys a few days to be able to kind of get their bearings and be normal, you know, 18 to 23 year old kids. And then we got back into it about a week after school started. So we've been really just grinding on little details, really continuing to kind of get our continuity together. It's been really good. Big difference from last year because we have plenty of guys that know exactly what we're doing, how we're doing it, when to do this, when not to do that. And so all the new guys could follow their lead. That was such a just a breath of fresh air for me this year. And just getting on the same page with the guys. It's been really good.
Hitting the road always gives a great opportunity to get to know people and learn things about folks because you're just in a different environment. You get rid of a lot of the noise that you have at home. Mm-hmm. Are there one or two things that you learned about the team or about any of the players in particular while you guys were in Costa Rica that you just didn't know before?
Just, we got a lot of personality. That's, I think everybody can see that if you spend any time, just not even with us necessarily, but just in the same space. If you come to a practice, you'll see just the guys just hopping around. And to be honest with you, I think one of the very underrated advantages of the Costa Rica trip and the time we've been able to spend together is someone's quirkiness isn't annoying anymore. Like, it's just you, that's who he is and that's what we're going to do. My quirkiness doesn't annoy them anymore. It's like, that's Coach or vice versa. Like, just us truly, like, I think one of the things that's great about us and our community and our family is we let you be you and we embrace who you are. And I think our guys have full confidence in that. And it makes everything else so much easier because there is no, like, I don't have to pretend. I don't have to be someone. I don't have to act like I'm someone that I'm not. And I think these guys really embrace that.
So we got a chance to watch this team this week. Fans did that went to the exhibition game. One of the players that surprised me the most was Scotty Hubbard. He looks like a different player this year. He got in great shape, obviously, I think. Talk to us about his growth from last year to this year.
Hard work. You know, when we got Scotty to commit to coming to ODU, I think we knew potentially the player that, you know, the potential that he possessed. I'd been watching him for quite a few years and watched him grow up. He'll admit that when he showed up to campus summer after senior year, he was out of shape. Only he can tell you why. But he was out of shape. He was not in great shape. And it took him a while to get over the shock of what college basketball was. But he kept working. He didn't quit. He was there every day. He just worked. And the biggest thing that you see now is a young man that has been in shape, stayed in shape, and he's reaping the benefits of that. Scotty's always been able to shoot the ball. Scotty's not soft. Scotty is as physical as you can be as a guard. He has versatility. And then the one thing that I don't think most people realize is how smart Scotty is. He sees things before they happen. He's able to communicate with his teammates to help them. He's somebody who has earned a huge spot in our rotation. He will play a lot of minutes for us this year, and he will impact us winning on both ends of the floor. And I'm proud. Like, I mean, he's everything he gets this year, he will have earned. And it's going to be one heck of a season for him.
Another guy that played quite a few minutes the other night that I wasn't necessarily expecting to play as much, Zach Wiggins, true freshman. But Zach looked like he belonged out there. Now, yeah. I don't know if it was because we had a couple guys not starting that might normally, and it gave him an opportunity. But boy, did he seize that. I was impressed what I saw.
Again, we recruited Zach to play right away. His role and the amount of minutes he played, that is not a surprise to him or us. The thing that is going to be huge for us is Zach provides so much versatility as a guard. He can shoot, he can drive, he can defend, he can rebound. Zach goes through every now and then the normal freshman speed bumps. But again, you're talking about a young man who's really smart, and he's able to overcome them pretty quickly. You want everybody on your team, like, you know, only make mistakes one time. Well, Zach, we'll say Zach will make the same mistake twice, but then that's it. He won't make it again. And just, I mean, you saw it. Like, I mean, he's athletic, again, incredibly smart. He's a sharer. He doesn't hog the ball. He doesn't hunt shots for himself. He hunts plays. He wants to make the right play. Very happy to have him. He's, again, those two young men, Scotty and Zach, both. You know, the depth that we have, we talk in our locker room all the time about depth being our superpower. That is going to be our team's superpower. And those two guys greatly contribute to that.
So after I left Chartway Arena on Sunday, I ended up watching the Duke-Tennessee exhibition game in Knoxville. And they interviewed Rick Barnes during the game. And they asked him, what does he get the most out of these exhibition games? And he said, trust. And Jimmy Dykes asked him to explain that. And he goes, what I learned from watching these games is who I can trust to run the offense, who I can trust to play hard-nosed defense, to be in the right spots, to be a good teammate. Would you say one game is enough for you to judge that? Or is that something that with the portal era, it might take a little bit longer than that?
I think what it does is it supports or contradicts what you've already started to see for our team. And I don't know what Coach Barnes does, legendary coach, great coach. I don't know what he does with Tennessee. If you talk to any of our guys, they'll tell you, we go through situations every single day. This is the score. This is how much time left. These are the fouls. These are the timeouts. This is the direction the possession arrow is going in, like all of those details. And for our guys to process that information. And then, hey, we're running this play and I'm drawing it up and it's the first time we run it. And to me, that is where you earn my trust. And every one of these guys will tell you the one thing, I don't care how good you are. If I don't trust you, you can't play. Because if I can't trust you, I'm putting you out there with four other guys. They have to know you're going to be where you're supposed to be and you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Or it doesn't matter how great of a play it is, it's not going to work. Even if all five guys are on the same page and they're wrong, it actually has a chance to work because they're all on the same page. Yeah. So for me, the practices we've had initiate that level of trust. And then when we get in the game where the lights are on, there's people out there, there's real refereeing, there's all of those other attributes or characteristics of a pressure situation. If they continue to do what I've seen in practice, yeah, one game is nothing's enough, but one game does support it. Or, you know what, you do everything I asked you to do in practice, but now, because there's a couple thousand people here, you kind of went off on your own. That gives me some pause.
So let's talk about that exhibition game a little bit. So great to get back into Chartway Sunday for the game. On the surface, if people weren't there or just watching very surface, some folks may have been, fans may have felt frustrated or, oh, I can't believe we lost to Hampton or whatever. But I noticed after the game in the post-game presser, your body language, your tone of voice, that wasn't how you felt. So talk about that a little bit of what you took out of the exhibition game and kind of what gets you excited about this season.
Well, first and foremost, you nailed it. I was excited after the exhibition. I'm as competitive as it gets. I don't want to lose anything. Don't want to lose a thing. Sunday was good for us. Really good for us. I am not going to sit here and be like, oh, Rob didn't play. Drew McKenna didn't play. Like, we couldn't do this. Depth is our superpower. If we're going to be the deep team, and there are going to be things that happen during the season that we're going to have to play different lineups, and younger guys are going to have to play, and guys are going to need to step up. So having the opportunity to do that was really good. Offensively, we were clicking. You know, if you take away, so we dribbled off our foot, I don't know how many times. We bobbled passes. We still only had 11 turnovers. That is a positive sign to me. You know, we have five metrics that we're looking at, and we're going to add a sixth. But five of the metrics that we had, we were really close to either we did get the metric or we were really close to getting the metric. These are things that translate to winning. It's proven. If you go back and look at those five things in our games last year, if we got 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5, or 5 out of 5, we won. If we got 0 out of 5, 1 out of 5, or 2 out of 5, we lost. And it is truly something that after that game, I felt like, you know what? We'll learn from this. There's things that we did that we would never do in a game. There are things that we tried that we'd never try in a game. There's things that we would definitely do in a game against a team like Hampton that, you know what, we're not going to do that. Just in case there's some film that gets to Miami of Ohio or Randolph or Norfolk State or whatever. And every coach in America, I like to think they all do that. You don't want to shoot every bullet in your gun in an exhibition game like this. That content is too valuable. And we didn't lay an egg. We scored 79 points. We scored 79 points where we had 74 possessions in a game. So that means we played the pace we want to play. We had 74 possessions. Out of those 74 possessions, so if you double that, and that's 148 possessions in a game, 40 of them are very simply correctable mistakes made. So 40, so that's what, almost 30% of the game. And we still score 79 points. And we defensively, a lot of things we got to do better. But we play defense differently if that were a game that counted. We play defense differently. We don't play full court against a guard that can just blow your doors off from start to finish. But it was something that we were trying to take a look at. What can we do here? There's so many things. We'll play some zone. Against a team like that, you probably play some zone. I'm not getting ready to show a zone in an exhibition game. That's not what this is. There's just so many things. I was very enthused. Monday, the day after, Coach Ivan and I, we've known each other for years. We got together and talked. It was like, hey, what'd you see? Give me some advice about what you think of my team. I'll give you some advice of what I think of your team. Just so many things. And honestly, just his comments and somebody that I would trust to tell me the truth, his comments about our team directly coincided with the way I felt and what I saw. So it was confirmation for me and vice versa. So yeah, I was and I am incredibly enthused about the start. Now, having said all that, and I know it's a long answer, I apologize, but none of that has anything to do with Miami because Hampton is not Miami. They're two totally different styles. They play way differently. So there's so many things that, we got to shore up this week to help us prepare for that game that we got to start to that. And again, I'm happy with where we are with that too.
All right. So we know this team will grow a lot over the year. The team in March was not the team we're going to see play against Miami this week. What would you say is your biggest strength right now as this team? And then what's the one area that you want to improve on as we move forward the most?
I hope I'm right. I think we're going to be able to score the ball. I really do. Last year we were handcuffed with our offensive ability. from top to bottom. We will not have that issue this year. We've got multiple guys that can shoot. We've got guys that can get in the paint and do things with it once they get into the paint. You know, our bigs have gotten better. The style that we're playing is more conducive to the way I want to play, the actions and things like that. Last year, like, we a lot of times had to really slow down to do what we wanted to do. Last year, we had to call a lot of plays. This year, we won't have to do that. These guys know how to play. They, like, you know, you hear coaches talk about it, and it's a popular thing to say now is, oh, we don't run plays, we run actions. Well, you know, some of that is BS when the coach is telling you that. He's just trying to convince his team that I don't want to call the play every time. That is who we are. Like, you know, we'll call plays out of a timeout. We'll call the first play of the game maybe. But when the game is just flowing, these guys, like, we trust them. They're old. They're experienced. Our ability to score is going to be a strength. And we'll be versatile. Like, our goal is to have 4 or 5 guys average double figures and 6 or 7 guys average 8 points or more. And I truly believe we can do that. The one thing that has to improve, and it will, is clearly our defense. And I think with that, though, we're so game plan. You guys got to see it a little bit in Pensacola last year. We're so game plan driven where, you know, you go against Hampton and you, like, there's no data to go off of other than the guys individually where they came from. So I firmly believe, especially with the versatility we have defensively, we can play zone, we can press, we can switch up our ball screen coverages, we can play a little bit less aggressive man-to-man just to keep things in front of us. We can be really aggressive in our man-to-man and deny. Like, we have the ability to push different buttons there. And that will take time to truly, like, in game situations, really grasp. Again, sorry for the long answers, guys. I'm excited to be talking to y'all. So, sorry.
This is your show. Yeah. We're asking you. You're the guy that people want to hear talk. So long answers are good answers. All right. So after the game the other night, Harry Minium asked you a question. You know, fans are asking about Rob and Drew not playing. And I'm not going to ask you that because you answered. If people want to know what your answer was, they can go back and they can watch that on the YouTube channel. Yeah. But going to Miami, Ohio, obviously you guys are looking at them. For the fans who are going to be watching this game at home, what should they expect with Miami, Ohio?
So one of the things, one of the reasons why I am excited about our team is we got selected to play Miami of Ohio. And Miami of Ohio is ridiculously good. And there, I have not seen one publication that has picked them to finish any lower than second in their league. Many pick them to win their league. The premise of the whole Sunbelt MAC Challenge is you match like teams. So whenever the decision was made for ODU to play Miami of Ohio first game of the season, that means that you think that we're a contender at worst for our league. So I feel good about that. I feel really good about that. The other side of that, though, is Miami is really good. They lost their first home game last year against Wright State and then did not lose another home game. It is a tough place to play. I played there my sophomore year in the NIT, in the second or third round of the NIT my sophomore year. It is an incredibly difficult place to play. They were 15th in the country last year in three-point percentage. They recruit shooters. They are shooters. They develop shooters. We're going to have to guard that three-point line like nobody's business. They've got great size. They have their conference's preseason player of the year. They have last year's conference's freshman of the year. They got one of the best shooting bigs in the country out of the portal. They've got size. They've got quickness. Ipsaro, their point guard, who came off the bench for them last year, probably was better than their starter. He is a blur when he gets going. They all can make shots. They're tough. We brag about the continuity of our roster. We return the most starters in the league. They return the most starters in their league. It's the continuity that they have. this will be an incredible challenge for us, but also a great measuring stick, a road test. You know, we've got some great venues we're playing this year. I don't know if the home court advantage that another team has will be any bigger than what Miami has. But again, I'm excited about the opportunity.
What makes that venue such a difficult place to play?
It's a college town. Like, they live and breathe Miami of Ohio. The Redhawks, they're all about that. And last year they won 25 games, I think, which was the most they had won, I think, in their school's history, and their first 20-win season in a long time. You're talking about the energy around the program there. Like, that place is going to be rocking and rolling on Monday.
All right. I'm really excited about this season. I can't wait to see how it shapes up. But this time of year, fans want to know, who can we expect to see on the floor? Was Hampton a good example? Or because you weren't trying to show too much and you know that you're just trying to try different things out, what are we looking at? Who should we expect to play a lot on this first game?
Hampton is not a great example because, obviously, again, I believe two guys that will play a lot for us were not healthy, and we didn't put them on the floor. So the one frustrating thing, if there's anything frustrating about our preseason, is Steph didn't play in Costa Rica. Everybody else did. So getting a true rotation in Costa Rica wasn't able to happen. The one scrimmage we had and the one exhibition we've had, neither Rob nor Drew played in either one of those. So, again, trying to really kind of solidify our rotation, we haven't been able to do because we haven't had, 100% participation. When we get to that, I don't expect it to cause too much of an issue. But, like, I'm excited to see what it's like when I have, a full roster that we can tinker with. I think our guys are excited about that. As fluid as our things offense looked in Costa Rica, you don't have a Steph Walker doing that, and that it limits truly what you get a chance to see. We're going to play 10 guys. I can probably say with the utmost confidence, 9 guys will play every game, most games, if not all the games, 10 guys will play, and all of them good minutes. We will not, unless we have just bad injuries, we will not have guys that average. I mean, we had two guys that averaged 35 minutes a game last year. There's no way that's happening. You guys will be able to play shorter stints, but give maximum effort for those shorter stints. You take a Rob off the floor, you're probably replacing him with a guy that can really shoot the ball. So you're not losing that floor spacer, that dynamic that you have. Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
I'm excited already.
I mean, seriously, guys, look, we have, our league is tough. We know that. Great coaches in our league. They're going to do everything they can to prepare for us. But the multi-layered, like, this is what this is supposed to be. We're not beholden to, like, if he plays well, we can be successful. Like, you can have an off night because there's 4 other guys that are going to pick it up. Like, you can get in foul trouble. We don't want you to, but if you get in foul trouble, we've got guys that can pick up the slack. And just look at it the other day, like, without Rob and Drew, Jordan Battle gets in foul trouble. Like, Jordan Battle's huge for our team this year, huge. But Zach Wiggins is able to do what he did because Jordan had to sit out a lot of minutes. Steph got in foul trouble and had to come out. Like, Jared Turner steps up and he's able to play. Jared Turner was our leading scorer in our scrimmage that we had, and he went 6 for 8 from 3 in that scrimmage. Like, he didn't shoot the ball as much or as well in the exhibition the other day, but he did so many other things. Like, he was so impactful defensively with his effort and energy. Like, there's just so many layers to this, and I could not be more excited about it. Yeah, like, this is going to be – we missed layups. We dribbled off our foot. Our transition defense was horrible. And it was still a one-possession game without 2 of our best players, with another of your best players being in foul trouble, with a young guy, a freshman, playing his first college. I mean, just there's so many – like, I need everybody to understand why I'm excited. Yeah. I've seen this before. I've seen this movie play out. I know how it goes. Like, we're in a good spot. We're in a great spot.
So the other night, you know, the game's going through its flow, and at some point you transition to a smaller lineup and you play that smaller lineup for a while.
Yep.
We briefly talked about it in the post game.
And that was on purpose. Exactly. Who knows what this season is going to call for so much of. That was a wonderful opportunity for me to see what we can look like if we have to play that way. Size-wise, we can match up with pretty much everybody on our schedule. We don't want to do that just to do it. Like, if we can make you, again, we talked about giving coaches heartburn last year. Well, you know what? I think our smaller lineup will give coaches heartburn, especially with someone like Jared Turner playing the five. That means literally you potentially could have five guys on the floor that all shoot 37% or better from three-point range. Like, how do you guard that? How do you guard that with a true center? Like, how do you guard that? And then you want to switch everything, and now you're going to have your six-foot point guard Jared Turner, who's 6'8", with a seven-whatever wingspan. Like, there's just so many layers to what we can do. And, again, I'm excited. Now, none of this means anything. Like, we still got to go out, and our schedule's crazy tough. We're going to, you know, get smacked across the face a few times, but we're good to go. Like, this, we're built for having a really good year.
I can see the pieces. I'm excited to see how the puzzle all fits together. Got to say, I was happy to see how well Scotty and Jared rebounded on the offensive end. Those extra possessions are crucial in the game of basketball. But like I said, I can't wait to see how this puzzle fits together, because you see the vision. But
yeah, one thing about that, like, so as we were top 10 in the country last year, offensive rebounding, like top 10. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to be top 10 offensive rebounding this year. And there's one huge reason why.
You're going to make more shots.
They want to have the opportunity.
Yes. We're not worse. We're not going to be worse at it. It's just we're going to make way more shots, so there won't be as many opportunities. Like, it's just, yeah. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. These guys are working really hard. We're pushing them. But, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Casey Shaw had a horrible first half the other day. Horrible. And we got to see the Casey Shaw that we all expect to see in the second half. Just stuff like that. The exhibition provided us an opportunity to get that out of our system. For Jordan to not play great. And you know what? It wasn't the end of the world. It didn't cost us anything. For KC to, like, you know what? Let me kind of get my feet under me a little bit. And it didn't cost us anything. That was so good to see. LJ running our team the way he did. And he'll tell you, like, I'm as hard on point guards as I am on anybody. Like, LJ could have affected us in so many more ways. But everybody got to see a little bit of what he's going to bring to our team. Like, yeah, this is going to be good. I haven't even talked about Cal. You know, there's just so many pieces here that have us really, really, really excited.
I mean, you even said it earlier, Jordan was in foul trouble, but how many games is he going to just score 2 points?
I don't think there'll be another one.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't shoot the ball. Like, yeah, we're good, man. We're good. Jordan made a shot today. We all celebrated it. Because he shot the ball, and it's just like, where was this on Sunday? Like,
I will add this. We were at a practice a little while ago, and I got to see a play by Drew McKenna, and the fans haven't got to really see him yet. But it's maybe one of my favorite plays I've seen in a while related to OU basketball. He hits Cal streaking down the court with a beautiful pass. Reminded me of something Kevin Love would do, just like, the perfect pass, entry pass, like three-quarter court.
Mm-hmm.
Cal catches it beautifully, dunks it. That sort of play we haven't been able to pull off in a long time.
Yeah, Drew is a great passer. Like, it's one of the things that's most underrated about his game. He's a terrific passer.
Yeah, I'm excited for fans to be able to see that because they haven't seen it yet. Yeah, we didn't see anything yet, really. It's just – And that's why we're all excited.
Yeah. Like, again, we, you know, we play, our schedule is ridiculous, but I, no matter what, it is going to prepare us to face whatever comes our way when we get to Sun Belt play. We don't want to be the 10th seed. We don't want to have to play six games. We don't have to want to have to win six games to make it to the NCAAs. We want to position ourselves to have a little bit of rest after that last game Friday, February 27th in Atlanta at Georgia State. Give us a few days as we prepare, and then we go down to Pensacola, and hopefully we're talking about 2, 3, 4 games to get out of there, and that is very doable. Again, especially with a deep team that we will have. Yeah, like, we're excited, man. We're excited. We're going to have our bumps. We acknowledge it. We know it. You know, when you go play at Villanova, at Xavier, at Maryland, at Richmond, at George Washington, at George Mason, when you have to go play those games, and then you still got to go to William & Mary, you still got to go to Drexel. You know, when you have that type of road schedule, you can't help but be prepared for what the Sun Belt's going to bring.
The cool thing about this road schedule, though, is it's really accessible to fans.
Yep. Intentional. That was intentional.
Brilliant. And you executed on that well, because I'm looking down and I'm going easy drive, like William & Mary, easy drive. Richmond, a little bit further, but it's a Saturday. Perfect. December 13th at George Mason. Oh, Mike and I are going to put a bus trip together to get fans to go up for that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you got Maryland. Like, there's all these opportunities to be able to go on the road, which mm-hmm. is fun for fans too. Like, you're talking about how good it is for the team to get to know the team. It's good for the fans too. So there's tons of opportunities this year. That excites me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically, if you really look at it, the only plane ride trip outside of conference play that we have is Miami and Xavier. Every other of those great road games that we'll play are all a bus ride, are all a car ride. And Villanova's not, Philadelphia's not far of a car ride. DC's not far of a car. We play GW on a Saturday. We play Villanova and Drexel on a Sunday and a Tuesday before Thanksgiving, when a lot of people are already off. You play at Maryland on in between Christmas and New Year's, when a lot of people are already off. As you already mentioned, the Richmond game, the George Mason game, like, there, those are accessible games because of not only where they're located, but then also the time of the week they are. We, all of this was intentional. You know, I don't like not being able to play more games in Chartway, but again, with the way the game goes now and NIL and rev share and all of that, we were very intentional about how we put this schedule together. And it was the happy medium of playing a ridiculously tough schedule to prepare us, getting the resources from the games we're playing, but then also making it fan friendly as much as we possibly could.
Me and Aaron are trying to figure out how many games we can get to. I know we
as many as our wives will let us go to.
We did a little football road trip recently, and the whole time we were on the way back, we were trying to figure out what basketball games we were going to go to.
Yeah. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. We, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be fun, man. This, the momentum that we had at the end of last season, it just, to watch our team progress the way it did and to finish on the note that we did, and then for us to get better. And these guys that are here wearing that jersey now, like, the growth in our team last year, just think about what it would look like with this group, the talent that they have, the experience they have. You know, some of the speed bumps and hiccups we had a year ago, we won't have to go through them. Again, it's so exciting and just energizing to me every day. You know, I sat in our film room today and just told these guys, even when I'm mad at them, it's still a blessing to coach them. It's a blessing to coach at ODU. It's a blessing for them to play at ODU. Like, and as long as we never forget that, things are going to be okay.
So every successful locker room has got a guy who kind of steps up and he develops into, just called the leader. Not necessarily because they want to. Maybe it's just because how they are and guys gravitate towards them. Do y'all have that guy yet?
So this is the, you know, some people might hear this answer and cringe. We have different leaders for different circumstances. So no, there's not one person. Rob is a natural leader because of that's who he is. And then his status on our team. Jordan is a natural leader because that's who he is as a person. He is a 757 native. He's got that bubbly personality. You know, LJ Thomas is quiet, but he's our point guard. So there's leadership expectations placed upon him that I think he really thrives in. Steph Walker is the old dude on our team. Like, he's the guy that's been through everything in his life. He's mature. He has leadership that comes out when we need to see that. Cal is just a great person who wants to, like, yo, fellas, we got to do this. Like, he's a leader in what he brings. Jared Turner's energy is so contagious. Like, when Jared is hype, we're hype, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's just so many guys on our team. And then there's the guys that are quiet about it, that, you know, Casey Shaw. You know, Casey Shaw is as experienced as it gets, played a lot of great basketball in his life. And Casey's one of those guys, kind of like Sean was for us last year. He doesn't say much in terms of speaking to an entire group. But when he does, everybody stops and listens, because it's not like you just got that one voice all the time that's in your ear. It's like the little gnat that you want to shoo away. Well, in case he talks, it's not that. It's impactful because most people know that he doesn't normally do that. And I could keep going. Like, these guys, man, they're again, I'm excited. I think you guys can tell.
Yeah, it's spot on. I think what Monarch Nation gets a chance to see these guys, they'll see exactly what you're talking about. I mean, at this Seven Cities Pro-Am, Jordan's going into the stands, dapping people up. Jared Turner's slapping the floor, playing defense in, we'll just say, meaningless games, but like locked in, like it means something. It's that game was just as important as, you know, a conference game, yeah, to him. So it's, and anybody that got to go, we didn't even talk about the Meet the Monarchs night, which was a great event.
You got to see their personalities. They got to get up there with Ted is just a maestro. You know, just holding any interview or anything like that. He knows what to ask. He, you know, he was able to give them the open-ended questions that allowed them to be themselves. And our fans got to see that. Again, just come on, man. This is a beautiful place. Our basketball fan community is unbelievable. The support we get. And you know what? Even the people that don't agree with every decision that's made or everything that we do, we still have their support, though. Like, they're still rooting for us. They still want to see us win. Yeah, there's so many out there that, like, yeah, man, come on, Coach Jones. Your home schedule's got to be better. And I'm telling you, it will be. This just wasn't the year that was going to happen. It's not like they're just like, you know what, we're not supporting you, though. And that's the part that I love about this, that this is unlike any other place I've been.
Another super cool thing about that event is how accessible it was for fans. I mean, the old event was cool at the yacht club down the road, but it wasn't accessible to a lot of fans. It cost too much. It's a little stuffy. This event, you really get to know people. Everybody can come. They got a chance to watch you guys play and practice if they could get out of work, you know, for that. But hopefully that's something that you guys can build on, because everybody I talked to had a phenomenal time and really, you know, helped them connect to the program.
Yeah, we already had plans. You know, I haven't talked to Jenna Verga about it yet, but we already have plans for what we want this to look like going forward. We do want it to be just like it was this year, in that there's an open practice before. I do want to make that at a time that way more people can attend the open practice. I do want it to be in a much bigger space that can accommodate more people, because I do think, again, as we build this thing the way, like, I dream about it, man. Like, as we build this thing the way this thing is going to be built, there are going to be plenty of more people that want to attend that. And I don't want anybody to feel like they're not welcome. I don't want to feel like anybody feels like there's not a place for them to sit. You know, I love this community so much. I want all of y'all to feel like you have a part in everything we do, and especially the winning. Yeah, like next year, that event is going to get bigger and bigger and better and better. And I appreciate ODAF's support. Ashley Valines behind the scenes this year did so much. You know, just so many people. You know, a lot of people know Jenna, and a lot of people know Katie. Now, a lot of people know John Valines, but there's so many other people behind the scenes that don't get the recognition that make things like that go off very well.
And I'm happy to hear you don't want to have it on a weekday at like 4 o'clock again, because yeah, I'm one of those many that had to work.
Yeah. So if Jenna Verga sees this, she might cringe a little bit, but we'll talk. We'll negotiate something. But yeah, I want it to be at a time where way more people can attend. Last year, we did our open practice before we played Virginia Tech in football on a Saturday. That was, I thought, smartly done. There's no way to really combine an open practice like that and a meet the Monarchs on a football game day. But we're throwing around some ideas, so we're working on that. I'm not gonna think about that much until, you know, we get to April, but it's definitely something we've already discussed amongst ourselves.
There's an event that's been going on for years that I imagine some fans are going to be asking about. Is there the basketball breakfast? Will that be held this year?
After the first of the year, we've discussed the possibility of doing that. We have not firmly said anything yet because we don't know. I'm hoping that there's just so much excitement about what's going on with us that, I mean, it's just almost demanded that we do that.
I'm demanding now.
I would love to be honest with you. I would love to, because it is another opportunity to connect. You know, I if you can't tell me, I'd do it pretty much anything for our fan base. But the one thing that I know this fan base wants us to do is win. So that's got the priority in terms of our focus. But stuff like that breakfast, I would love to do that. To be determined, but I would not be surprised if we have one in the beginning of January, in the beginning of February, and then hopefully we're playing well into March. So we come back from Pensacola and we have one before we go somewhere else to play, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we know what you mean.
I'm ready for another Selection Sunday party at Chartway.
You guys deserve it. You guys deserve it.
So. I have to update my pictures. I think my last pictures had like Xavier Green and Kalu Zeekpe. It's been a while, so we're ready.
Hey, and we've got the new student athlete dining hall that opens in January. We had an all-staff athletics meeting over there last week, and we actually talked about the possibility of selection shows, like the parties, and because that's a beautiful space. I would love, nothing against Chartway, but I would love to be able to do that over there, just in that it's a more intimate space. It would be, I hope to do that in 2026.
That sounds like a plan. Totally.
I think the last was at Mitchum, for what it's worth.
It'd be pretty cool to do that. You know what? A selection show party that we're a part of would be cool. I don't give a dag on where it is. Shoot, we can go down under the overpass and freaking have it there. I don't care. As long as we're involved.
You're not going to get any disagreements from us, but we do thank you for your time. We hope you have a safe, smooth trip to Oxford, Ohio. Yes, to play the Red Hawks of Miami. We can't wait to root you on next week at Chartway against Randolph. Thanks again for joining us. We really do appreciate it, Coach.
I appreciate you guys. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.